Dear Father, we thank you. We just thank you that you know who you are. We're learning to know who you are through your Son, through your Word, through your fellowship, through your Spirit. But we are very much in the first stages of this. So thank you in the name of Yeshua. We know nothing as we ought to know, but it's okay. We just look to you to be our supply through your Son. In the name of Yeshua, amen. We will start with Psalm 103. This is just a very free meditation, as the Lord leads. But I want to just take that one point from Yohanan, John 14, before we go to Psalm 103. Our Lord said, let not your heart be troubled. And the word troubled is spelled in Aramaic the same way as King David's name. Dalet Wav Dalet. Let not your heart be anxious, troubled. And that word in Hebrew means also love. And love and being concerned are very close. Like a mother who loves children is always concerned. But the concern should not turn into trouble. So this is amazing how I find the biblical languages. I'm dealing with Aramaic, Hebrew first of all, and Aramaic equally. Open up the picture unbelievably well. Not to discourage anyone from studying Greek, if that's your field, it's beautiful. And it also has many, many beautiful keys. So let not your heart be troubled. You may be like King David in the valley where he wrote a lot of his... Yeah, but here's the thing. The Psalms, most of them are by the King David. He showed us what to do with troubles. But his name really means beloved. Love, beloved. We are beloved of God. He carries our troubles. And if troubles get to me, something flipped. And I forget that I'm the beloved and he's the one to carry the troubles. So I got my eyes off of him to myself, to my situations. Thank you, Lord, thank you, Holy Spirit, for putting these words like this. So let not your hearts be troubled. And when I read that in Hebraic, It has a message to me also. Learn from King David. I can't get this out of Greek, but Greek has other beautiful things, I know. And then, ye believe in God. All of you, that he says, ye believe in God. Believe also in me. You believe in God. I could see in my heart like Yeshua, on the highest mountaintop of the world, or highest mountaintop on Israel, calling all Israel or all the believers that read the thinner version of the Bible, it's still pretty big, but saying to them, ye believe in God. I'm speaking generally. ye believe in God, you, plural, believe in God, believe also in me. Believe in the God, in the arm of the Lord, in the eternal Word of God who became flesh, who went through all these things. And when he is speaking, he is still going through these things on the earth as a man. Believe also in me, because I'm not separate from God. I'm actually a version of God. I'm the arm of the Lord. I'm the Word of the Lord. Yes. And then the next, after he says, ye believe in God, believe also in me. Then the next he says, in my Father's house are many rooms. Yeah, this is a message in itself, because it relates to what we need in the heavenly kingdom days to come. But it also relates to him being the temple. Father's house is the same word he used when he cleansed the temple. But I have only one thought in mind now that I want to bring. That as soon as he says, believe also in me, until then he talked about God. Now he talks about the Father. Sometimes I meet people and they say, I believe in God. Good. Do you also believe in the Father? You can get that by believing in Yeshua. Another way of saying that would be, your relationship to God is as God. Do you also know him as the Father? How do you get that? There's answers in Psalms, there's answers in the writings of Paul. But for this question, I don't know if there's any better answers than in the book of John. Now I'm going to Psalm 103. But really, it's simple. You believe in God. Believe also in me. And if you believe in me, then it is my Father and my Father's house is the next thing. He has the unique relationship with the Father, and the whole eternal life is really he's giving his relationship with the Father to us. That's really eternal life, the spirit in which we cry, Abba, Father. Yes, but I will now turn to Psalm 103. But let's go Psalm 103, a few thoughts. You know, if I am full, like in myself, in my thoughts, in my own soul, if I'm full, sort of like full of myself, but it could be full of good things also, I select which way I'm getting my blessing. I have my expectations. Like that one person came once to the Jaffa Gate here, and to the bookshop gate, and he said to me, are there any great speakers in town, like in the level of Benny Hinn? I don't want to hear any small speakers. Are there any famous speakers here in town? I said, sorry, there are only regular people, regular speakers. No, I'm not interested. I want the big speakers. Well, that's a little bit heavy example, but if we are full of our own ways or thoughts, we select how the blessing should come to us. If we are empty, emptied like this person called Margaret Barber, and I'm shocked how few people in the world know about this person. She was on a level of Watchman Nee or Warbrand in her walk with the Lord, and I don't know how to go into levels, but I mean the heart knowledge of God. Yeah. So if I am enough empty or emptied in the school of El Shaddai, I don't choose my own way, also how I get my blessing. In Baltimore, we had a wonderful brother whose wife died recently. And what was this man's name? He had a black curly hair and mustache. I sort of remember his name. One second. Tapio. Tapio was married in Malmö with a beautiful and very spiritual lady from America. They lived in Sweden many years, had a wonderful life of ministering to the Lord in Malmö, city of Malmö. Then they moved to America, and Tapio's wife, Holly, got a sickness. And I suppose it's one of those sovereign plans of the Lord that we don't know when. I believe in healing, but I also believe that God is very sovereign, and it doesn't work the way and timing and way we imagine. So many years Tapio was just next to this wonderful lady that was so beautiful and full of love and ideas. And was it Alzheimer's? Yes, I believe so. So over those years, that beauty vanished away. It's like a flower, all that vanished away. And now, the love that she had for her, of course, is tested. But Tapio would not blink an eye. And he organized all his life, first of all, to serve her, because he took it as a ministry from the Lord. Just like as if he'd been ministering to hundreds of people somewhere. It was equally important or even more, because it was the Lord's portion where he was to know the Lord. The Lord chooses where and under which circumstances we are to get to know the fullness of his grace and his truth. And he never lacked anything. And now that part of his life is over. Now he has to rethink again. Now he's on his own. Very big thing. But let's go to Psalm 103. Here is the psalmist whose name is Beloved. But in Aramaic it also can mean to be worried, concerned, to care. Yes, let not our love turn to worry. We usually worry about things that we love, things that are close to our hearts. And oh, my friends, there are so many concerns. I know a man, and I will not say any names and nothing more, but there's a man who was very close to us who lost his son just days ago. He lost his son. He doesn't know what happened. Did he drown in the water? Did someone kidnap him, hijack him? Nobody knows what happened. He's not found. It's a terrible pain. And that's kind of like because, let's say the parents love the son so much. He was very beloved to them. Now it can be concern and worry. So that's a good prayer. Lord, let not my concerns, my love turn into, let not my love be misdirected so that it turns to worry, concern, because there's only one who can carry all our concerns. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Whatever happens, God is still holy. God is always right. And that means that I must accept how ignorant I am. You know, every week I'm more and more conscious of it, how much many things people know, but how little they understanding. I'm talking about myself. I probably know so many things that I don't understand them. Because if I don't understand them in God, in the loving, that all things are in the hand of the wonderful, loving, merciful and righteous God, I know things, but I don't know them in their right relation. I'm sure I have a lot of that. But I also know that when we walk with Him, our knowledge turns to understanding as we walk with Him. But when we don't understand, the point is to believe, to trust. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. It's not just generally, let's say, for the Israeli people that Yeshua said that. It's for all. It's for all of us. Believe equally as we rockets in the north. Yes. Believe equally as you believe in the Father. Believe equally in me. Believe in me, not less. Because if you believe in me, you're actually believing in the Father. You're actually believing the Father. This cannot be disjointed. The arm of the Lord that pulled us out a few weeks ago, we had Pesach. The arm of the Lord, the uplifted arm of the Lord that brought us out of Egypt is nothing less than the Messiah's presence with the people in the wilderness. But now He gained His humanity, which is now glorified on the earth. When He came here, He gained the perfect blood that He shed for us. And then all that what He went through is in the Spirit, so that even the cross is now in the Spirit. So the cross does not need to crush us. Yes, there are tears. Why do we have tears? Because to transfer ourselves always from the old to the new, old man to the new. We are in the new man, but it's experiential also. It's God's viewpoint, and we can call it position and God's viewpoint. But when we walk in it daily, it's always come out, come after me, come from the wilderness, come from the mountains where are the lions and the leopards. I'm talking Song of Songs now. So it's always, come, let me transfer you. Let me transfer you. And that's where our pains are. That's where our tears are. That's where our questions are. That's where our why is, because of that. But we say by faith, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, every part of my soul and my heart. And when I say my heart, it also kicks into our very innermost part, our spirit. Bless His holy name. So we can talk to our soul. We can talk to our soul. Our soul says, but I need time. When I'm going through, I don't feel like praying right now, praising right now. I need time to process it. It's okay. That's why we have the Psalms. That's why we have the Bible. But we do speak to our soul. Bless His holiness. My soul, bless Him. Bless Him. When you can't do it by feeling, when your feeling is not with you, I mean, then do it by faith. And then you can say, Lord, help me to bless Him. One reason why we don't bless the Lord more, I speak for myself, I lack the vision. You know, it talks a lot about the face of God from the time of Yaakov's experience to 2 Corinthians 3. It's all over the place. But if I could by faith see that the Father's face is all upon us, looking intensely on us, and when we say, I choose you by faith, I don't even know really anything right now, but I believe you're delighted in this, that I'm delighting myself in your Son, in your promises. I don't know if anyone, how many people in the world knew this. A lady called Marilyn, she was 91 of age, and she was one of these people that always prayed for the sick people. Texan. She always prayed for the sick people. She went through, I believe it was cancer, deadly disease, many years of trial, but always, whether it was in sickness or in health, she, by the way, came out of it. She was always quoting the scripture. It's like from a young girl, she became a believer at age 11, yes? And she began to get positively addicted to the promises of God. The whole Word of God, yes. But the promises of God. And that's what happens to us, that by the promises of God, we're also looking to His face, not just to His hand, what happens. And so if we could even see for a moment the Father's delight when as He looks at us, He's looking at us all the time. We forget that. He doesn't forget that. Are we saying something? Are we willing to connect to Him also in the valleys? Verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Oh, when you read the Psalms, Remember, 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 remember. When you read Deuteronomy, remember, remember, remember. Remember all the way that the Lord your God led you. Sometimes, if you feel like you are in a big valley, go sit under a tree where are some birds singing maybe, and take a book, a little notebook maybe, pen, and write down some of the key points. How did the Lord lead you? It is the most personal walk. But it doesn't start in time. You cannot really know too much about it, how there was something happening in eternity before the time even. But how perfect has been his leading. And then remember Ebenezer. Okay. Until now the Lord has helped us. Forget not all his benefits. And then go and read the Gospels, read Psalms, and remember 2 Corinthians. And you can see in Paul's life, chapter 6, these trials, and more even in 2 Corinthians, where he unveils his heart totally. We're not forsaken. Everything he went through, shipwrecks and everything. Yeah. Yes. Forget not all his benefits. That's your personal talk with him. Personal time with him. That gives us the faith. That softens our heart. Before we can minister to any people, we need this softening of our hearts before God. To cue on all his benefits. Benefits is, of course, a Hebrew word. Benefits is a good Latin word. All his tov is the basic Hebrew word. All that God made was good. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? All. And when I'm tempted to think about somebody else's sins or iniquities or whatever, I better have a look at mine. How miserable is my life outside of the Word of God, outside of the redemption of God? How miserable is my life outside of redemption? There's nothing good to think about this self. But when we think about redemption, who redeems thy life from destruction, who forgives all your iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Yes, he heals. He heals. Some of the healing we may not see in this lifetime. A lot of healing we will see in this lifetime. I've been healed many times. I've seen healings. Maybe some other people have seen more than me. But the ultimate healing is because he died for us on the cross and purchased for us a new body. How much healing is also in the promises of God? I don't want to go into this topic because I'd be tempted to talk about how our soul is and our body responds to our soul, and there's all kinds of relations, and healing is a big world. But let's just say, ultimately we'll be healed from everything. And in time, keep believing and trusting, but don't look to your own heart and saying that I'm punished, because he says he forgives all your sins. He forgives all your iniquities. And he heals all your iniquities. The only thing we have to keep giving him all our sins, leaning on him for our weaknesses, and then not live purposefully in any known sin, but keep departing from evil all our lives. That's it. Relying totally on His grace. You know what I'm saying. And He redeems our life from destruction. Destruction in Hebraic is shahat. What is shahat? Corruption. Destruction. When leaves fall from a tree and they're dead, this is shahat. It's in a moral area. It's in a created life. That which gravitates to the old when death is working. So He redeems your life, thy life, from destruction and from this shahat. I believe this is shahat. It's very close to the Hebrew word shohat, which is bribery, corruption, and also bribery. Using money to bribe people is a terrible form of corruption. So whatever gravitates to the old creation, old life, the way we used to be. When we say, well, God is good, but I am what I am. I cannot change. This is the big I that claims to be more powerful than God. And this great I brings us to corruption. Left to myself, there's only corruption. But what does God say? God say, He redeems your life. When did it happen? It happened about 2,000, almost 2,000 years ago. It happened. He officially, powerfully redeemed your life and my life from corruption so that we don't owe anything to the flesh. We don't owe anything to prove to ourselves that now I made it. I had a bad day yesterday, but today I'm going to do so well that I can prove I really improved. We don't owe anything to the flesh because He redeems our life from corruption and that which gravitates to the old creation. When I say old creation, we don't really mean all the beauty of the God's creation. And this will also be redeemed, you know, to the new creation. But we are supposed to reflect on the beautiful things of God and think of them in the beauty that God will give us even something more beautiful than that. And who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who wears crowns? Not even princes. Kings. There was in the news that one king went to America from Europe, but he went without his crown. Yeah. He did not wear his crown because he wasn't in his own turf, in his own backyard. He could only wear the crown in his own country. He's not king over there. He could have been if America didn't rebel. But He crowns us with loving kindness. That's hesed, grace. He crowns us with grace and tender mercies. Wait with hesed and mercies. Hesed verahamim. Rahamim is like that love that the mother has for the children. The father pities us, it says in the same psalm in verse 13. Like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear Him. He pities us. I don't know how pitiful I am outside of the grace of God. I am miserable. My flesh could be stirred up. I could fight. I could defend my flesh with stronger fortresses than the wall of Babylon one time was. I'm miserable outside of His grace. And if I move outside of that grace, He sees how pitiful I am, and I think I'm doing great. That's the real pitiful state, how I overstate myself. I'm like a little child that is full of self and full of my own ideas, and I'm pitiful. But I'm not alone in this. You are also outside of the grace of God. But it's not just that. We are in the depth of our need. Our need is so great. We have no idea how great it is. We know that we have a need. But I think my need is this and that in the outdoor things. And they are real. Health crises are real. Many other crises are real. But the real need is that I don't even see what my real need is. And what does He do? Like as a father pities His children, so the Lord pities them that fear Him. We still have His fear, though we are so blind. We're so far. But He says, you know what He says? It's okay. Don't look any other direction than Hebrews 12:2. I almost started preaching. Looking unto Him, the author and the finisher of our faith. There's one theology going today, and it's a form of grace theology. And they're wonderful people. They're really great people. They understand many things and they love God. But somehow, I don't know from what text or Greek text or from where they got the idea that when it says by faith we're saved through grace, by grace we're saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves. They say that the faith is not the gift of God. We have the ability to believe, not believe. Well, yes, that's to a point. It's true. But that we can choose is true. But they say the faith is not the gift of God. Without being harsh towards anyone, when I hear this, my mind goes to bonkers. My heart says, no. And I take my Aramaic Bible one more time out of my shelf, and it says about faith. It is this faith that is a gift of God. That's what Aramaic says. Yes, I need to say yes to that faith. I need to say, yes, I'm available. And I love these people. I'm not against this. It's a particular move that started, I suppose, in Texas or somewhere. But they say faith is not a gift of God. Okay, let me just speak for myself. I don't criticize people. Lord, help me not to. But I do not have in myself to work up that faith. It was in my misery I looked to Him and He gave me the faith. Yes, I said yes. I said yes as He called on me. But that's part of that mystery. But for me, faith is the gift of God, because it is in this old ancient text as well. Or do you think that your faith started with you? Do you think? Mine didn't. And let's be merciful to all people in theological debates. I want to be merciful. There's so many things that are hard to understand. So many things that need further balancing. But that's the point, that He grounds us with loving kindness and tender mercies, that it's a grace, and the rahamim, the kindness, the mercy, that is our ground now. And it may appear as a more visible ground on us later, but that's the invisible ground. Are you walking with the ground in the midst of your difficulties and miseries and questions? Are you walking with the ground of grace and tender mercies, kindness, rahamim? Ooh, rahamim is the word in Hebraic which comes from the place of a womb of a mother. So we're still carried, like He's still carrying us, like a mother in a womb and like a father that looks with pity. That is the idea that Paul transmitted in Thessalonians when he said, I cared for you as a father and like a nursing mother. It's exactly the same idea. I believe that he really probably had this psalm in his mind, because he connects to all these words. You know, Paul had so much content in his writings that he only gave the gist of it. And when you go to the Greek, you get marvelous revelations that are sort of theological. But when you go to the Hebraic, it's a family revelation. Oh, so let's benefit of all of that. I'm almost done. Who satisfies thy mouth with good things. Remember, when God created everything in 6 days, He made everything in 6 days. At the end of each day, He said, Ki tov, for it's good. What He made is good. And on the third day, He said it twice. Third day is the day of resurrection. And everything that God has created and made is good. But in a new creation, it's even double good. And He satisfies our mouth with this divine good tov, so that our youth is renewed like eagles. I could use some of that. I could have a little bit more renewal. I could feel a little bit more like an eagle. I would love to fly a little higher. It's interesting, it says, the youth is renewed like eagles. One thing about what it is to gain years. Yeah, we gain some experience and we gain some confidence. Sometimes it turns to self-confidence, not so good. It can turn to God-confidence, that's good. But it says, like eagles. What do eagles do? They go higher. They gain altitude. They go higher in the vision. They go higher. And when we see something from a higher place, I really did... tempted now to go more to the thoughts of John, but I'm not. But when we go higher, everything becomes more simple. We see the bigger picture more clearly. We see where we've come from, where we're going. But not just that. We see where God is coming from, where God is going, and where He is taking us. With eagle's wings, He carried us out of Egypt with eagle's wings. He's still carrying us. And He says, they that wait on the Lord, they exchange their strength. They renew and they exchange their strength. So, amen. So our youth is renewed like eagles. I think we all need that. I think we all need that. And there's some majesty about eagles. I've been a student of eagles, and I need to do more of that. There's some majesty about that. Crowned like kings, flying like eagles. And that eagle view comes in verse 6. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. When I'm down here on the earth and looking at what happens in this small scale, I feel like that's not right. That's not right. That's not right. These evil people are wrecking the whole world, and they're doing evil things even to little children. It's even hard to talk about it. But when I go higher, I see the bigger picture. The Lord is executing righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. We don't see it on the earth. There are many times we don't see it on the earth. If we could only see past the veil what the reward is for those people that have suffered the most. And secondly, when they are there, they don't remember anything of the trouble. I thought about Holly, our friend from Sweden, from Baltimore in Sweden. She doesn't remember right now when she's in the kingdom of God. She doesn't remember a thing of those troubles. God will wipe away anything that is sorrowful. We need to believe. We need to walk by faith. I need to read Hebrews 11 again. I need to read Deuteronomy again to catch the view how we walked through the wilderness. At verse 7, he made known his ways unto Moshe and his acts unto the children of Israel. So when, like Moshe, was on the mountaintops, it was a long, hard walk. It was a heavy walk even to carry those tablets of stone to the mountaintop. It wasn't easy to carry. I mean, the walk alone was heavy. Go to Saudi Arabia. Watch those mountains. Somebody now might say that I have a different view where the mountain was. Whatever view. Mine is probably Saudi view. But whatever. He carried these things to the mountain. He was on a high level. He had the eagle viewpoint. But when we have that viewpoint, we can ascend like Moshe, not by ourselves, but by the spirit of Ephesians 1:17, by that spirit of wisdom and revelation, we can see more of his ways and not just his acts. And then we say, the Lord is merciful and gracious. That's his way. Read the context. Slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. There were some judgments. Yeah, we're going to see some judgments. But his bottom line is he's very slow to anger. And sometimes it looks like he's doing nothing because he's slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Yes, he will not always quarrel, chide. Neither will he keep forever. That's referring to his anger. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as far as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his grace and mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. you know, East and West never meet. He doesn't see our failures through His Son. He doesn't see it. He doesn't see. He's not. He doesn't even see our flesh. That's been crucified. He only now deals with our natural. He deals with our soul life, that we would accept what He has done. And if anyone misunderstood me, I don't mean that we don't bring our sins to Him and turn from them all the time. All our life we keep departing from evil and clinging to His grace. Yes, 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 yes. I'm not cheapening the message. But He does not see us in our old state. No, no, no. Like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, remembers that we are dust. There's a lot more. You can have your own meditation about that with the Lord. So that's it. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. And that believing leads you to concentrate and to see that now it's the Father's house where you are. It's now the Father's house. Not just God as the Creator. That's already wonderful. That Creator God is the Father. Amen. Amen.